Good morning and welcome on Easter morning at First Presbyterian Church of Westerville. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan, and I'm leading worship this morning. Becky Stamm, I know, cannot be here as our liturgist today, but Matt Gowan has been pressed in as our liturgist this morning. Heather Hicks will be delivering the children's message. Earl Linhart is directing our choir, and Lynn Meyer is playing the organ and the piano for us this morning. If you're visiting with us in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out a welcome card and leave it in one of the offering plates at the back of the sanctuary. If you're visiting with us online, you're invited to leave a message on our Facebook page. And if you want to know more about this congregation, you are invited to call the church office at 614-882-3155. As you can see, this is a communion Sunday, and so everyone who came in to the sanctuary is invited to take a communion kit, a little cup like that. Our ushers will walk around with those. If you didn't get one on the way in, just raise your hand and we'll get you a communion kit. If you're at home, you're invited to prepare some juice and bread to share in the communion part of our service while you're at home. We have some announcements to share this morning. The flowers this morning are a gift of many within our congregation. We thank you all. There's an insert identifying these, and those of you who gave flowers are welcome to pick them up after the service. Following the service this morning, there will be an Easter egg hunt out on the East Lawn. Children interested in the hunt should gather in the Knox meeting room. That's the one down at the end of that way, end of the building that way, for instructions about the Easter egg hunt. And then Heather will lead you out to hunt the Easter eggs. The rest of us can watch from up above there. There is going to be a visitor and new member orientation on next Sunday, immediately after the service. Those of you who are interested in finding out a bit more about our congregation, or maybe even possibly joining, are invited to meet here at the front of the sanctuary after the service, and we'll have maybe a half hour or so of orientation and talk about this church, answer your questions, and give you information about joining if you're ready to do that. The Fabrics of Faith group will meet on Tuesday, April 26th at 1 p.m. in the lower level of the church, and all are invited to come and sew, knit, or just sit and join in the conversation. They are working on quilting projects at this time. The annual spring work session will be Saturday, April 30th from 9:30 to 11. Mostly spreading mulch, but there are some other jobs that are part of the outdoor, getting the church cleaned up for spring. If you have a child, or if you are have graduated or will be graduating from high school, college, or graduate school this year, please let us know so that we can include you and them in our graduation celebration, which will be May 22nd. And you can just leave a note in the offering plate or call the church office. Our CE department has a couple announcements. First of all, those third graders through 12th graders and their families who are interested in church camps should see Heather after the service. She has information about church camps for the summer and a great summer experience for young people. The CEL department also is sending a message for the Holy Spirit to be at work in you, for those for whom the Holy Spirit is calling you to teach our young people. Please talk to Heather, and she can help discern that gift of teaching and get it you plugged into the right program. Finally, those who may not be called to teach may be called to do this. We are forming a decorating committee for our children's program to keep the children's areas decorated and looking nice. So if you would like to be part of that, you can see Heather for that as well. We are here on a special Sunday to bear witness to the resurrection, and let us do that now with the music of the prelude.
Thank you. call to worship. Alleluia. Praise be to God. Christ has risen indeed.
We bring our joyful hallelujahs to this place today.
The tomb is empty, and new life hovers this dawn.
We praise God for the mystery and the excitement of the resurrection.
Let us worship our God who grants all new life. Join me in the prayer for Easter morning. God of all glory, on this first day you began creation, bringing light out of darkness. On this first day you began your new creation, raising Jesus Christ out of the darkness of death. On this Lord's day we grant that we, the people you create by water and the Spirit, may be joined with all your works in praising you for your great glory. Through Jesus Christ, in union with the Holy Spirit, we praise you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you. I'm going to invite the children to come forward this morning. Would you like to come over here, Andrew, with all the other children? No. Good morning. You can sit down right there. Got a few coming from upstairs. And we're going to invite all the children in here for us adults to be a part of our service this morning as well. Good morning. Come on down. I cannot contain my excitement at seeing you all this morning. Happy Easter. We have a saying in the church on Easter morning, and I'm going to teach it to you. It's kind of a repeat after me kind of thing, right? So I'm going to say, Jesus Christ is risen, and then you guys will say, Christ is risen indeed. Can we try that? Jesus Christ is risen! Okay, that's a little quiet for Easter morning. Can we be excited, right? Christ the Lord is risen! Thank you. All right. We say all that because today is the day we remember that Jesus, although he died on the cross, he rose again, right? On Sunday morning. And so we remember Jesus. And today is a day of celebration. What do we do at celebrations? What do we do when we celebrate? What are some things we do? Yeah, Jackson. We eat. We eat. That is for sure. We eat. And did you know that I'll bet everybody here is going to go and have a nice feast after this service, I'll bet. What else do we do when we celebrate something? Joshua? We have a party, we do. And what do we do at a party? Austin. Yeah, we celebrate. Yeah, we celebrate. How about we maybe set up decorations? Yeah. Do we have some decorations in our church today? Yeah, what do we have? What do we have decorating our church today? We got flowers. Look at all these beautiful flowers. I'll bet if you didn't see them at first, you smelled them when you came in. Because these flowers are so beautiful. And these flowers are special on Easter for several reasons. Because of some other things we're going to talk about when it comes to a party. Do you listen to music when you party? Yeah, we have music. We have music and we might dance a little bit. We get all excited. We have music that gets us excited, right? We have maybe cake. Yeah. We have cake, and we have food, like Jackson was saying, and we might decorate like these beautiful flowers. Well, these flowers are special because these are lilies, and lilies bloom really early in the spring. Sometimes you'll see them along the road, but they might be a different color. But we choose white lilies on Easter Sunday because we remember that Jesus was so pure and innocent, right? Was so pure and innocent. So we have the white color for the lilies. But those flowers look like something else. Do those flowers look like an instrument? Yeah. What do they look like, Andrew? What do you think they look like? What kind of instrument? A horn. That's right. And, you know, when we think back to Jesus' time, that's how they would celebrate. They would blow on their horns, wouldn't they? They would have the great big long horns, and they would blow the horns to celebrate. And so these look kind of like a horn or a trumpet. And so sometimes on Sunday, we've heard the trumpet play, haven't we? Yeah. So these are very special for those two reasons. And so I want you to remember that as you go throughout this day, this is a special day. This is a day of celebration, just like Christmas, okay? In fact, it's just as special, if not more special than Christmas, because today is the day we remember that God chose to raise Jesus from the dead so that we might know eternal life, right? Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross and rose again on the third day so that we might know your power and we might know your love and forgiveness. And we give you all thanks and praise, O God, in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. And you may go back and sit with your families.
Our first scripture reading today comes from Isaiah chapter 67, verses 17 through 25. Please listen for the word of God. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it or the cry of distress. No more shall thou be in it an infant that lives but a few days or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be. And my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Our second reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stopping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Scripture. And as we reflect upon these passages this morning, may your Spirit guide my words and all of our thoughts this morning. Amen. Christian author Richard Jensen told about a meeting that he had a few years ago. In his account, a bishop attended that meeting. The bishop had just returned from a convocation of his denomination's leaders, and he gave a report on the meeting to his staff. The bishop focused on three major speakers at the meeting, and he told his staff, "One of the speakers teaches Bible at our seminaries. She did an excellent job of tracing all the currents of biblical research that have brought us to the present understanding of the Bible. The second speaker was a theologian, and he did much the same thing as the biblical teacher. He reminded us of our heritage. He outlined the major streams of theology that have brought us to our present state." Jensen reports, "The bishop was now warming up to his subject." He continued, "The third speaker was an incredibly gifted laywoman in our denomination, who works in the field of applied science. The things she told us about the nature of science today were mind-boggling. It is a field that is changing with incredible speed. The average length of time in a job in her field is 3 years. The average length of time of a company in her field is 7 years. On the one hand, she said that was scary. On the other hand, however, she said this is probably the most exciting time to be alive that humankind has ever known. There are grand new opportunities that can change our future." The bishop then grew more serious with his staff. "I found it interesting," he said, "that our church teachers talked to us mostly about the past, while she talked to us mostly about the future. And that's not all. She not only talked about the future, but she made it clear that science has moved far beyond the point of thinking that God is to be factored out of any intelligent equation. She said, as we move to a new future, spiritual issues were of absolutely vital concern. And you have the answer," she said to us. "We look to you. We need you. Help us provide the spiritual sustenance the world needs as we move towards a new tomorrow. Surely you have the language in the Bible which can hold a vision of hope for the world. The woman was right. We do have the language in the Bible which can hold out a vision of hope for the world. Christ is risen. Where are you, Heather? We need your coaching here. Christ is risen.
Indeed.
It is Easter morning, the morning in which we recognize that the future is brighter than it ever was before. The tomb is empty and nothing will be the same anymore. And yet, we live in a time where the future looks ominous. And we take our steps into tomorrow with uncertainty, anxiousness, and dread. Disease, war, divisions, inflation, joblessness are all so present with us that the only future we can see is clouded at best and hopeless at worst. Our first lesson this morning was a reading from Isaiah. It was written to a people who were returning from exile in a foreign land, back to their homeland, only to find that their homeland was ravaged by war and famine. And while there was great joy at their release from exile, the sight that greeted them back in Israel was one of devastation. The cities were in ruins, the fields were ravaged, the orchards were cut down, and the vineyards were burned. And the very center of their community, the temple in Jerusalem, was no more, torn down to the foundation. And the holy items that were inside, they were plundered. As the exiles returned, they found nothing to cheer their eyes, no promise of a future. But what they could not see, God could. Isaiah could. And Isaiah wrote, "I am about to create a new heaven and a new earth. Be glad and rejoice in what I am creating." Come the words from the prophet on behalf of God. "They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well." Isaiah saw war, destruction, and hunger all around him, just as we see a host of problems around us these days. But Isaiah could see something that lies beyond the sight of most of us: the possibilities of God. Isaiah sought to lift up the eyes of his people from the downward cast of the reality around them to the horizon of possibilities that God offered them. Not an easy task, for reality usually trumps possibilities for most of us. Instead of seeing the glory of what might be, we focus on the pain of what is. And yet, as Christians, we have one advantage that even Isaiah didn't have: the person of Jesus Christ. You know, this morning we had a sunrise service. I was telling those gathered that 9 out of 10 sunrise services, we don't actually get to see the sun because of the clouds. This is Ohio, after all. But that wasn't the case this morning. And a hearty group of us met and watched the eastern horizon turned from pitch black to light colored blue, then yellow, and then the bright orange of the sun rose. And in that, we found strength, because we were looking to the horizons, and there on the horizons, we could see the promise of God. Presbyterian scholar Mary Ellen Jones writes about this passage: "We may not know how God means to transform the universe, but we can confess that we know that it is in God's power to do this. What remains possible for the single believer, the single congregation, is to do the work involved in such transformation by following the patterns of mercy that Christ laid out for us." Isaiah's vision of the future set the stage for the work of Jesus Christ. This vision of the future is what the disciples experienced firsthand on that original Easter morning. Dismayed by the events of Good Friday and the death of their leader and teacher, the disciples huddled in fear for their own safety. There were no visions of the future on their minds on the day that the women went to the tomb to treat the body for burial. The future was no more. There was no looking towards the horizon, but only huddling together in fear. But then the women came running with news that the tomb was empty and that angels had told them that Jesus was alive. But even this news was treated as idle tales, as Luke tells us. Still, there was enough in the women's excitement to cause Peter to go to the tomb and see for himself. And when he found it just as the women had described, empty, a new future was born for Peter and the world. And it is that new future that we joyfully celebrate today. The resurrection is God's sign that Isaiah's vision of the future is possible. One day we too shall share in a resurrection like Christ and live with him in perfect peace. It is this biblical vision that our young scientist wanted from the church and the one that we are now equipped to offer on this Easter morning. The world is still a fearsome place, but we now have the assurance that a new age has dawned and God's will for the world will prevail. Theologian Cornel West wrote, "The resurrection claim should mean to us that Jesus' victory over death ushered in a new age, an age in which the almighty power of God is already fulfilled, but not yet consummated. An age in which death is conquered, but not yet abolished. The new age is an interim period in which the divine power in the form of the Holy Spirit is at work among us. The significance of the resurrection claim is that despite how tragic and hopeless the present situation appears to be, there is a God who sits high above and looks low. A God who came into this filthy fallen world in the form of a common peasant in order to commence a new epoch. Easter focuses our attention on the decisive victory of Jesus Christ, hence the possibility of our victory over our creaturehood. The old creation and this old world, with its history of oppression and exploitation, is gone. So we live in an interim time when God's power is fulfilled but not consummated. But we live with the assured joy of the disciples that this is true. The tomb is empty and the crucified one is really alive. Theologian Karl Barth put it another way. The Easter message tells us that our enemies, sin and the curse and death, are beaten. Ultimately, they can no longer start mischief. They still behave as if the game were not decided, the battle not fought. We must still reckon with them, but fundamentally, we must cease to fear them anymore. This is our resurrection vision. Because of the resurrection, we can now see beyond the trials of this world to the possibilities that God holds for us. We may not have the full picture of what God intends, but we can see the small glimpses that God provides of a resurrection future where Christ's love and peace do shine. In Jesus, the Prince of Peace, we look forward to that future time, the day that Isaiah has shown us, where they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Please be seated. O Lord, hear our prayers. Gracious God, in whom we know the power of redemption, you stand among us in the shadows of our time. As we move through every sorrow and trial, uphold us with the knowledge of this first morning, when the glorious presence of your risen Son, that we share in his resurrection, redeemed and restored in the fullness of life, forever freed to be your people. Holy One, creator of the universe, who restores all things in beauty and glory through Jesus Christ, we pray that wherever your image is still disfigured by poverty, sickness, selfishness, war, greed, that a new creation in Jesus Christ may appear in justice, love, and peace. Sovereign Lord, sustainer of all by the power of the Spirit, open our hearts to your power, moving around us and between us and within us until your glory is revealed in our love of both friend and enemy, in communities transformed by justice and compassion, and in the healing of all that is broken. Almighty God, who through your Son overcame death and opened to us the gate to everlasting life, grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of the Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, as we continue to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from north and south and east and west to sit at the table of the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when the risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it. And in that moment, their eyes were opened. And so this is the Lord's table, where we will have our eyes and our hearts opened by our Lord. Join with me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, eternal God, our Creator. You have given us life and second birth in your Spirit. Once we were no people, but now we are your people. You claimed Israel as your chosen nation and raised up the church as a witness to the resurrection, breathing into it your life and power. From worlds apart, you gathered us together. When we go astray, you welcome us home. Always your love has been steadfast. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. In love with you and in compassion for all, Jesus healed and taught, challenged and comforted, welcomed and saved. He formed a community, promising to be with his disciples wherever two or three were gathered, and sending them on his mission of hope and healing in the world. Jesus trusted his life to you and went freely to his death so that the world may be set free from suffering and sin. You raised him from death, and you raise us also to live a new life with him. Remembering all your mighty and merciful acts, we take this bread and this juice from the gifts that you have given us and celebrate with joy the redemption won for us in Jesus Christ. Accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, as a living and holy offering of ourselves, that our lives may proclaim the one crucified and risen. By your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one ministry
in every time and place. Give us strength to serve you until the promised day of resurrection, when the redeemed of all the ages will feast with you at your table in glory. Through Christ, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, with the Holy Spirit in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. We remember that it was on the night of his betrayal, the night we call the Last Supper, that Jesus gathered with his disciples one last time in the upper room. And there, at that meal, he took the bread, and after having given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You're all invited now to partake of the wafer. Took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood poured out for all. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." And so we do as Christ commands. I invite you now to partake of the cup. Pray. Gracious God, may we who have received this sacrament live in the unity of your Holy Spirit, that we may show forth your gifts to all the world. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us join in singing our closing hymn. Go now in peace. May the blessings of God be yours this day and always. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
You got it. Amen.